Fullerton with the Emporia Farmers Market. It's a little bit drippy out this morning, but the farmers market is here, rain or shine. We have some fresh pies this morning, fresh produce, wonderful craft. We hope that you'll come join us. We're here from 8:30 to 10:30 at 7th and Merchant. This is Tricia Fullerton with the Emporia Farmers Market.
All the latest sports news and reviews, actions and reactions, your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 14 KVOE, live and local.
And a good Saturday morning. It is time for Sports Talk. We're driven by LongvineAuto.com. Steve Souter, Greg Ray, Tim Miller, all present and accounted for this morning. We're having a lively discussion about vaccines and COVID and variants and we won't share that with you, though.
But it was good.
We're all pretty healthy, so we'll move forward with our plan for today. And our plan for today starts off with an interview with Noel Torres, an Emporia High kid, wrestler, state champion wrestler, national champion college wrestler, and now a medalist in the Pan American Games, and he's here doing a clinic.
Yeah, Emporia High this past week has been holding a wrestling camp, and they're calling it the Legends Wrestling Camp. And
Return of the Legends.
Return of the Legends, as they Coach Brick Madrano and the coaching staff decided, hey, let's, you know, we could go out and we could bring in some high-named wrestling coach or wrestlers from some of the locations. But Emporia High has a pretty rich wrestling tradition. Let's see if we can't bring back some of the legends of Emporia High wrestling to help put on this camp. And a number of them have been back. And probably the headline on that is Noel Torres. In high school, he was a state qualifier, I think, all 4 years, state champion his senior year. Went to Newman, where he had a very successful career, ended up wrapping up his career with a national championship in his weight class at the D2 level at Newman University, and since then has wrestled on the world level, as you mentioned, wrapping up the Pan American Games here recently, finishing third place in his weight class. He just missed qualifying for the Olympics for the...
Representing Mexico,
and we can probably get more of those details as we are now joined by Noel Torres, and Noel joins us on the KVOE Sutherland's studio line. And Noel, good morning and welcome to the show.
Hey guys, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, we talked a little bit yesterday while you were at doing your session for the Emporia High Wrestling Camp, and for you to be able to come back and be a part of this camp, how rewarding has it been, and what has it meant for you to be asked to come back and be basically the headline clinician for this camp?
It's extremely rewarding. You know, it's like coming back in full circle. You know, I used to be that kid wanting to learn, and I still am that kid trying to learn as much as possible, but now I get to show what I've learned over the years and hopefully help Emporia out.
Yeah, and for you, you're as you mentioned, your wrestling career isn't over yet. And have you found yourself maybe picking up a few tips as you've been a part of some of these camps?
Oh yeah, there's plenty to learn. It's like anything. The more you get into it, the higher level there is. So there's a lot I've learned throughout the journey.
Noel, this is Steve Souter, and I don't know if we've even met, but congratulations, man! What a great career you've had, both at Emporia and Wichita, and now. Now on the team for representing Mexico. Congratulations.
Thanks, Steve. Means a lot.
So where are you based out of now?
I'm back in Wichita now. I just had a baby. He's 5 months. You're 5 months. So came back during the pandemic. I was in Stillwater, Oklahoma, but I still train in Stillwater.
I see. And all your wrestling now, is it freestyle versus folk style that you wrestled in high school and college?
Yeah, it's 100% freestyle. That's all I train now.
And no Greco?
No Greco. No Greco.
Why does that make you laugh?
Oh, I don't know. It's just a different style, you know. It's all upper body, and it's not something I can see myself doing.
Not something you're going to try, huh? Or not?
No, I don't want to get tossed on my head.
So what's your favorite? Is freestyle your favorite, or would you rather be wrestling folk style?
Yeah, freestyle by far. I started folk style, you know, so it was a big learning curve for me to get into freestyle, and now I love it. It's, you know, you're on your feet 80 to 90% of the time. So I've gone back and wrestled some of those college guys on bottom, and it just it makes you realize how hard top and bottom work was.
So is that,
once you go to freestyle, you're like, yeah, I'm never going back to folk style.
Do you are you part of what you're doing encouraging the Emporia kids to? I know some kids wrestle in the summer, and summer wrestling in Kansas typically is freestyle. But yep. It kind of seems like, and I'm making a value judgment here, that Emporia kids have kind of stayed away from it. And would you recommend it? Do you think it makes you a better folk style wrestler to work out in freestyle?
Oh yeah, I mean, any type of summer wrestling is gonna make you better come winter, right? It's the saying they say, summer wrestling makes winter champions, and that I did a couple summers in freestyle, but it was just showing up to those practices that the coaches would hold, even if they weren't freestyle, just go being on the mat in the summertime, just improving on your skill sets, really pays off when season comes around. So yeah, I'm a big advocate of wrestling during the summer.
So you said you're still working out in Stillwater. So are you part of, is there a group that you work out with, and how are you supported? How do you finance what you're doing?
Yeah, I'm part of their RTC, which they have a couple guys post-college that are part of the RTC, but mainly we work out with all the college guys at Oklahoma State. During the summer, likewise, it's all freestyle, but during season there'll be some folk style, but I'm still just working on my feet. The RTC pays me, Mexico pays me, and then I run my own little service business, so that's how I'm supported financially.
And then do you have a job besides wrestling?
Yeah, that business I run, it's like I started a mental service. I work with athletes on, you know, how to perform mentally, peak performance, how to improve your mental game.
So are you sharing some of that with the Emporia High kids?
I'm about to, yeah. I'm about to this next session. Yesterday was a lot of technique, and today will be more physical technique. But, yeah, we'll for sure share some mental tips.
And you said you're a new parent, huh?
Yeah, I am.
So are you pretty good at the, 4 o'clock feeding?
No, I leave that up to my fiance, but it's really fun.
Well, it's great to have you back in Emporia. Do you still have family here?
Yes, I do. My dad and my youngest sister are still in Emporia.
Is she going to wrestle?
No, she actually graduated college, so she's not going to wrestle. I've been trying to get her to wrestle, you know. She's really strong, so I always try to get her to wrestle, but she doesn't want to.
What do you think about all these girls wrestling?
I think it's great. It's awesome. I mean, it's growing really fast, and it's, you know, saving wrestling. It's bringing more attention to wrestling, so I think it's awesome.
So what's next for you? I mean, you're in a training mode right now, and the Olympics are coming up, but you made your effort for that. How close did you get to making the Mexico Olympic team?
Well, I went to Bulgaria early in May, and I wrestled at the Last Chance qualifier. It was a world tournament. I lost in the first round to Poland. I think it was like 7-2. It was a closer match than the score said, but in the international world, if you lose your first match, you don't get to wrestle back for third unless they make it to the finals, and he lost in the semifinals to Japan. But that really didn't matter since that tournament, only the top two made it. So it was, you had to make the finals to qualify for the Olympics. So I fell short, but it was a great experience, and it showed me, you know, where I've come over the years and where I need to be. I'm still training. I got that medal at Pan Am, so that qualified me for the World Championships this year, and that's in Norway in October. So I'm training for that.
You're getting to see the world.
Yeah, it's awesome. I never thought I would be, you know, in Bulgaria, Norway, Guatemala, Canada, any of those countries I've already been to. I never in my life would have thought I would go and visit those countries.
So when you were putting in all those hours in the wrestling room at Emporia High, did you envision yourself, even after you were finished wrestling in college, that you'd still be wrestling?
Never. I was real big into soccer, so I always thought I was going to go far in soccer. I always wanted to play soccer. I played soccer since a little kid, and that's why I went to Newman, because they gave me the opportunity to do both. So I played soccer and wrestled my freshman year, but the team wasn't doing so well, and that's when I decided, you know, wrestling is truly up to the individual, right? It's up to me to win. It's up to me to put in the work, and that's what really drove me to wrestling, and that's how I decided to keep wrestling. And I won that national title, started coaching for a little bit, and then I just still had that drive. I was like, I'm just now barely starting to figure some stuff out, you know, like mentally and physically. So I was like, I got to find another way to keep wrestling, and that's how making the Mexican team presented itself.
Well, and wrestlers at the level where you are now, a lot of wrestlers go into their 30s and are winning Olympic medals in their 30s. So you've got a ways to go, yeah, if you want, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I have another cycle in me, which I'm gonna do another Olympic cycle. So that's what my main focus is, just to keep training, go to those world tournaments, and qualify for the 2024 Olympic Games.
What weight do you work at?
I wrestle at 86 kilograms, so that's 189 pounds.
So up, you were 185 in college, is that right?
Yeah, 184. That's correct.
Okay, so you haven't added a lot of weight. Probably added a little muscle, and just keep working at it, huh?
Yeah. Just keep trying to gain a little bit of weight and maintain my weight. I don't have to cut any weight really, which is always a positive.
Yeah, that's made wrestling better, that now kids at all levels pretty much wrestle without doing a whole lot of pulling. You agree?
Yeah, I agree. I wouldn't, you know, depending on the level, I wouldn't cut any more than 10 pounds, you know, because you wrestle your best when you're hydrated and full of energy. I think we've moved away from the traditional no eating, no drinking, cutting 25 pounds of, you know,
bleeding out of their ears. And
yeah, that I think that's the old way of doing it, and it's saving wrestling as well, I think. I don't know if kids these days could put up with that.
Who was your high school coach?
Dennis Charbonneau.
Okay, so
head coach Jason Bates was assistant, and then Madrano was also in there.
We've had a couple coaches here after Curtis retired. So, well, Sharp is a good coach, and of course his son, yes, was in there. So you had probably a pretty good workout partner.
Oh yeah, I did. I had a great coaching staff. I mean, I always give them lots of credit for where I'm at today. It was because of them.
Well, it's great talking to you, and on behalf of the wrestling community, we appreciate you coming back. I know it's not only an obligation, but it's also something that makes you feel good. So thanks for helping Brooke out and the Emporia kids, and best of luck, and we'll keep following you. Don't be a stranger.
I always support Emporia, so it's great to be back in the, I mean, this is my hometown, so I love Emporia.
Yeah, when you win
Thanks
that Olympic,
having you guys.
When you win that Olympic gold medal in 4 years, when they interview you, you say, "Hey, I'm from Emporia, Kansas."
Emporia, Kansas. Come back and have a little parade over here.
There you go. Hey, we'll do it. We'll do it. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Noel.
All right. Bye.
Now that's Noel Torres, a former Emporia High Spartan wrestler. He was a, I believe, 4-time state qualifier, 1-time state champion his senior year, and went to Newman, where he would win a national champion at his weight class.
184 pounds.
And
those
recently,
are men.
And
yeah.
has been wrestling since then on the national level, international level. Recently he wrestled in the Pan Am Games, finished third in his weight class, so a nice step there. And for those who have youngsters that do wrestle and you haven't been able to attend any of the camp sessions, you're still invited to go this morning.
It's free, It's free.
And it gets underway at 9 o'clock in Emporia High School. If you're wondering which door do you go into, it's the door that's closest to the weight room, the weight rooms and the
– So on the north side.
Southwest side, okay. Southeast side, excuse me, southeast side is where that door is at.
Okay. So park on the south side and go around the east side of the building till you find a door that's open?
Well, if you park the parking lot that's closest to the swimming pool, you can find some place there, or even down in the old tennis courts.
Yeah, but that's on the south side or the southeast side.
And that'll get you closest to the door.
Find a door that's open, huh?
Yeah.
And you know what? It occurs to me, even if you've got athletes that don't wrestle, but Noel told us he's going to be talking about the mental aspects of competing. So I got a feeling there'll be some gyms there, and they're not charging. They do take a free will donation. You can slip them a $10 or a $20 bill if you enjoy what you learned there. I'm giving some thought to going out and watching. I wish I'd have gone earlier in the week. They had Hunter Williams and was it Anthony Delgado?
Anthony Delgado
and
Dusty Spaulding.
Dusty Spaulding, who wrestled 4 years, was a 4-time state champion. High school champion and wrestled 4 years. I just saw a podcast with Dusty where he was interviewed by this guy talking about his career at Nebraska. It was hilarious. It was hilarious. He wrestled up a weight his freshman year, didn't redshirt, and wrestled up a weight because some kid was hurt. And then when that kid came back, he couldn't beat Dusty. So Dusty got to wrestle his whole freshman year. And he's active in wrestling and bodybuilding and that kind of stuff. And so he was there. And then the last night, Thursday night before Noel came, they had Brian Walburn, who's a 2-time state champion. He's the same age as my son TJ and Jamie. My youngest son, who was a 1-time state champion, and they were putting on the clinic, and I watched some of it. Some of it's been on Facebook. I didn't watch it live. I text Jamie, and I said, just how tired or how sore are you this morning? He said, he was doing all right, but I played golf with Hudson yesterday, and Huddy told me, we were talking about his dad. I was giving Hudson the bejeezies for not going because we'd kind of like see Hudson wrestle next year, but he keeps thinking he's going to play golf and not wrestle. But anyway, that's another story. And I said, your dad went. Didn't you want to go hear your dad? And we were laughing because somebody on Facebook watching Jamie said, look at those shoes. They're ancient. And Jamie had his wrestling shoes from high school on. And Hudson said, yeah, and he had to glue them back together before he could wear them. So anyway, you still got time. You've got about 27 minutes to get to the high school. Noel Torres, I'll tell you what, he goes on the list of highly accomplished Emporia High athletes.
Yeah, yes, he does. And what he's done in giving back, and it's always good to see that take place. And it, it, you look at Emporia High Wrestling, and there is a really rich history. And what a great idea that Coach Medrano and his coaching staff, Coach Russell, came up with to bring back the Emporia legends and let them give back to the program.
Well, and I think they need to keep doing it. And they've got multiple state champions. So I don't think they'll have trouble finding guys to do it. And, you know, the basics are always the most important. So, well, that was fun. We're going to talk with Ken Roper after a while. Ken Roper used to be the golf pro here. A professional golfer, and he was the head golf coach at Emporia State back when Emporia State had a golf team, and they're having a reunion this weekend. So we'll visit with Rope when we get back, but we need to take a break. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk. Hey, we're driven by LongvineAuto.com.
At Longvine Auto Plaza in Emporia, quality products and great customer service are what we value most. We work to provide our friends and customers our very best. We know how important a clean and safe environment is for you to shop in. We want you to feel comfortable about your safety while you look for the newest from Chevy and Buick. Chevy is the only brand to earn J.D. Power Dependability Awards for cars, trucks, and SUVs for 5 years in a row. And Buick has the most complete lineup of luxury SUVs. Need maintenance or repairs on your current vehicle? Let one of our award-winning service professionals or our Total Collision Center get you back on the road. If customer service and quality products are what you value most, come to Longvine Auto Plaza. It's our total commitment to you that has made the difference for over 50 years. So come in today or visit us at longvineauto.com. Chevy, find new roads.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 14 KVOE.
Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongvineAuto.com. Greg Ray, Tim Miller, Steve Souter. And as Steve mentioned, going into the break this weekend, Emporia Golf, Emporia State University Golf is having a reunion. And Ken Roper was the coach at Emporia State, and Ron Thomas mentioned it a couple times during the morning show that the players from the late 80s would be getting together this weekend to reminisce about the good times and the success that they had on the golf course as in 4 straight years. Emporia State was CSIC conference champions, and we're now joined by Ken Roper, who was a coach of those teams at Emporia State. He joins us on the KVOE Sutherland studio line. Good morning, Coach Roper.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Well, this is a big weekend for you and for some former members of the Emporia State golf program. And not to dig up any bad memories from the past, but I know it was a sad day when Emporia State made the decision to drop golf, but boy, what a rich tradition Emporia State golf had before the program was halted, and to bring some of those players back together has to be something you're looking forward to.
Oh yeah, very much so. I had a great bunch of kids that played for me for the 5 years, and we got one young man coming in. He's in from Indianapolis, and we have one from Chicago. Most other kids are fairly local, Kansas City, Topeka, Iowa, Newton and stuff. So looking forward to seeing all of them. We had a great dinner last night at Brush with three or four of us and stuff, and talked about it. So we're looking forward to it.
Hey, Rope, this is Steve. So how old are these kids? I'm sitting here writing down numbers. They got to be in their 60s.
They're in their 50s. I'm thinking my oldest son's probably the oldest one, and he's 55. So they're ranging from 50 to 55.
Whoa. So what was the last year that Emporia State had a team?
Let's see, 89. I'm thinking 93, I think. After I left, Jay Reese took over, and he coached it for 4 years. So I'm thinking 93 was the last time we had a golf team. But the interesting part about that there is I was able to have a good enough team, and we won the CSIC for 4 years in a row. Well, when Jay took over, he won it for 4 years in a row. So all of a sudden you have a golf team that's won a conference championship for 8 straight years. I don't think there's any athletic team at Emporia State that ever had 8 straight conference championships.
And then they dropped the program.
And they dropped the program, yeah. And we were ranked, the golf team was ranked in the top 20 in the country for 9 consecutive years.
Well, and you had, and it was just men's golf, though, was it not? There was no...
just men's.
That might have been a saving factor, and it's probably, well, I know it was probably the overriding reason that they had to drop the program, because that was at a point in time when Title IX was prevalent.
I'm sure that probably had something to do with it. I don't know the full story, but that might have something to do with it.
You'd have been a good coach for the girls, too, and I'll bet it'd be a lot more fun to coach girls.
I don't know about that, but I'm sure we'd have fun. I mean, last night, during the press, we had some pretty good stories going on travel that we did and stuff. So,
can you share some names with us? Who are some of these guys that are back?
Well, Rule Williamson from Indianapolis, my son Bill from Chicago, Kent Campbell from McPherson, Todd Simlich coming in from Topeka, Steve Burr, Mitch Hoffman, and Dave Stankiewicz from Kansas City, Steve Kepler from Council Grove, Bill Walton's coming in from Iola. So we were hoping to have around 20. It looks like we're going to have somewhere between 10 and 15. A couple guys had to cancel out for one for work and one for a bad back and stuff. So we'll have a good group.
You were hoping to play golf. Are you going to get to do that?
Well, if Mother Nature lets us, we went out and played yesterday. I tried to play yesterday afternoon. My son and Will Williamson, we got out. We got 2 holes in, and it rained, and then we came back in, and it quit. We went back out, got another 2 holes in, and then it just poured. So I'm hoping we can get in at least 9, maybe 18. But if we don't, we don't. But we're going to have a barbecue at the house tonight at 7 and tell a lot of lies and stories and have some fun.
Well, you're kind of amazing. You're able to play. How's your health?
Oh, and, you know, it depends on what doctor I'm seeing this week. not bad. I'm doing okay.
You're pretty amazing, Rope. That's a great story. I hope you guys don't tell too many stories and don't drink too many brewskis.
Well, I'll try and limit them to a few. That could be trouble, though. But we'll have a good time, I'm sure.
All right.
So what are some of the things that you remember about those golf teams, the ones that won the conference championships? What kind of stands out about those teams?
Well, just how good, nice young men that we had to represent Emporia State University. You know, we got to travel to Nationals for 4 years. We went to Birmingham, Alabama. We went to Saginaw, Michigan, and Indiana and stuff. And just a great bunch of kids. You know, the thing that I liked about our team was there was no jealousy. You know, Todd Sibley's might win this week. Kent Campbell might win this next week. And everybody pulled for everybody. And I think that's what made us really a good golf team, is that everybody was pulling for everybody because they knew it was a team sport. It wasn't about one individual.
And you, J.L. Lewis played a couple years at Emporia State. Was that before you?
That was before me, yeah. I'm not sure exactly when J.L. played, but, yeah, he was before me. And I don't know this for a fact, but I got to believe that Todd Simlich is probably one of the most decorated players that played at Emporia State. I mean, he won a lot of tournaments in the 3 years that he played here. And Chris Fairbaugh, who was supposed to come in from Atlanta, who's down in the back, and I think I'm correct on that. I think he's the only player in ESU history that played golf that went to 4 national championships.
Wow. That's Todd Simlich lives in Topeka, right?
Correct, yeah.
and he's played some good amateur golf over the years. So
yeah, very, very good player. Yeah, he transferred in from Kansas and played exceptionally well for me for the 3 years that he was here.
Well, it's a great story. It's a great memory, I guess. I know we have discussions every once in a while about bringing golf back, and it'd be great to do it.
I'd love to see ESU bring back golf. I know, as you said earlier about Title IX, I'm sure if they ever wanted to bring men's golf back, they'd have to bring in women's golf, which is, I don't have a problem with that there. I'd love to see them have a good program. I mean, they have a good golf course to play on, I'm sure that whoever took over and brought kids in, they'd represent ESU in a good fashion.
Absolutely. Well, thank everybody for coming back. Congratulations. Like I said, it was a good memory, and it's good talking to you, Ken.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the call, and look forward to seeing you guys.
All right. Ken Roper, who was a golf pro, is a golf pro, and he's battled cancer, and he's to be playing golf and being able to celebrate this is a nice story for Rope. So,
and when I talked to him earlier, he said this is something they hope to make a regular deal.
They'll have more guys down in the back if they do. So good stuff. Tell you what, let's get our second break in. We'll come back. We'll have about 15 minutes. We need to talk Royals, of course, and there's other stuff going on in town. There's a disc golf tournament going on in town. I didn't realize that. They're trying to play, speaking of golf, they're trying to play the member guest at the country club this weekend. And I know their horse race, which was scheduled for last night about 5 o'clock, got drenched. And I don't know if they'll get that in today or not, but there's a lot of good golfers in town for that as well. So, but we got things to talk about, so we'll do that when we return. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk. You're listening to KVOE. Hey, we're driven by LongvineAuto.com.
At Longvine Auto Plaza in Emporia, quality products and great customer service are what we value most. We work to provide our friends and customers our very best. We know how important a clean and safe environment is for you to shop in. We want you to feel comfortable about your safety while you look for the newest from Chevy and Buick. Chevy is the only brand to earn J.D. Power Dependability Awards for cars, trucks, and SUVs for 5 years in a row. And Buick has the most complete lineup of luxury SUVs. Need maintenance or repairs on your current vehicle? Let one of our award-winning service professionals or our Total Collision Center get you back on the road. If customer service and quality products are what you value most, come to Longvine Auto Plaza. It's our total commitment to you that has made the difference for over 50 years. So come in today or visit us at longvineauto.com. Chevy, find new roads.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 14 KVOE.
All right, welcome back. Saturday Morning Sports Talk, Steve, Greg, and Tim. Tim, good morning.
Good morning.
We haven't utilized you
much. That's quite all right.
Wrestling and golf, not exactly your bailiwick.
Yeah, kind of out of my wheelhouse.
Kind of interesting interviews, though.
Yeah, very interesting. Very interesting.
So what's your take on this baseball deal where I just before I left this morning, I had it on ESPN, and they showed the encounter between Max Scherzer and who's the manager?
Joe Girardi.
Yeah, Joe Girardi. And Joe Girardi just said that, I mean, this has to do with the new enforcement, not a new rule, but enforcement of the rule about foreign substances for pitchers. And umpires checking him out, Max Scherzer, they checked him three times in six or seven innings, whatever he was out there. But Joe Girardi comes out of the dugout at one point, and he said that Scherzer had been rubbing his forehead in a different manner than he'd ever seen him do it before. Well, if they took away if he was keeping his goody stuff in his glove and they took it away, maybe he put it on his forehead. I don't know.
Gosh. Some of this kind of stuff, if it's –
It's kind of fun for baseball.
It's fun for baseball. And stuff like this has been rumored for, good Lord, forever. And I'm not certainly advocating anyone to use any type of substances to give them an advantage. But, you know, the some guy brought the point to me, you know, they really harp on the pitchers and what they may be doing, yet batters can use pine tar.
But that's so they can hold on to the bat. That's so they don't throw the bat at the pitcher.
But it's still a substance being used for grip.
And some of the baseball players, some of the hitters have said, hey, let them do it because I don't want a 99-mile-an-hour fastball slipping out of the guy's hand and hitting me in the head.
Exactly. So, you know, it's I don't know.
We had Seth Wheeler on Monday morning, the Emporia State baseball coach, and the way I started it out, the first question I asked him, Greg, I kind of couched it in Emporia State and sticky substances for pitchers, and he said, no comment.
You know, you got to kind of assume that they're going to, whatever they can get away with and not make it obvious, they're going to do it, and everybody's doing it.
Right.
And a lot of it is to get a better grip on the baseball, make it do some things that maybe normally wouldn't happen. But, you know, there had been a standing, I guess, gentleman's agreement between managers and teams that, you know, hey, as long as you're not doctoring it up to the point that, you know, it like sticks to the bat when you throw it. You know, it's
– or you see things carved into the ball.
Well, and when we talked to Seth, I was interested in, you know, what he knew about it. And once we got by the facetious part of it, spider tack is the substance that is the favorite of Major League Baseball players. Seth said he's never seen it, knows nothing about it. So it must not be as prevalent with amateurs. You know, they changed the rules a few years ago to where pitchers can go to their mouth on a regular basis. You know, it used to be they could only go to their mouth and when the weather was cold or they couldn't do it on the mound.
Right.
And now they can lick their fingers whenever they want to. I don't know how often you want to. With COVID, I don't think you ought to be licking your fingers.
Kidding. I can recall growing up as a kid, you know, Gaylord Perry was still, you know, on the mound and very effective.
He wasn't getting that out of his mouth.
And he you know, of course, Gaylord had that reputation for, you know, he'd use whatever he could use.
Well, and if you watch a baseball game, professional Major League Baseball game, pay attention to how often they change out the ball.
That was the other thing we talked about Monday morning.
Yeah, they change it out on every other pitch.
If it's foul tipped, it's out.
Yeah. Or if it hits the ground, it's out. It's kind of interesting because in my limited exposure to baseball when I was, you know, a kid, a youngster, you wanted a baseball, you wanted a scratch or something on the ball because it gave you more ability to spin the ball, which is how you throw a curveball or a slider. Yeah. So we kind of concluded Monday morning that maybe pitcher would say, hey, don't throw that ball out. I want that ball because it gives me, but I don't know. It would be interesting to talk to somebody who knows about that stuff, why they don't want that. I mean, and what would happen if the pitcher said, don't throw the ball out, just keep throwing them back to me. Don't, when it goes in the dirt, Salvi, just throw it back to me. I want it because I want it.
Right.
So I don't know. It's amazing because I don't understand this stuff. Now, the spin rate stuff.
Yeah.
They're talking about one of the Royals pitchers, and his spin rate on his fastball is 25,000 revolutions.
There are so many analytical things now, particularly in the sport of baseball. Of course, our own Sean Thornton's really big into the analytics and certainly understands it more than I do. But, man, there's a lot to keep track of.
And the question I have is, okay, you got that good spin rate, but is it a strike? And what happens when they hit it?
Yeah.
And you know, there's a lot of that stuff that, you know, you could break it down in this and that, but – you know, it comes down to being able to throw strikes and then trying to keep it inside the ballpark.
Throw strikes that aren't in the middle of the plate or elevate. Last night, Mike Minor, who had been had two or three really good starts, his last one against Boston in particular was really good, only gave up a couple of hits, only gave up two runs. But last night, he wasn't spinning it right because his changeup kept being about waist high, and they hit it with a lot of regularity.
Yeah.
And you feel tough for the guy.
Right.
But you've got to have it. I mean, you know, one day your slider slides and the next day it doesn't. And wham, bam, there they go. And the hitters are good. And the Royals, I tell you, I'm glad I'm dyed-in-the-wool Royals fan because they do frustrate me.
They can frustrate. And you know, the last game I watched was the one in New York where they came back and took the lead, and then Holland gave it back away in the ninth with the home run to Sanchez to tie it, and ultimately Voit's hit that won it for him. But
of course,
yeah, they can be a frustrating bunch to watch, no question.
You know, and you said Holland gave it away, but I don't know who else you'd want out there.
True.
He's doing pretty well for an old codger.
And conversely, the Yankees can say the same thing because Chapman had all kinds of issues in the ninth and allowed the Royals to score twice, take the lead. So that's baseball. But
the deal with the Royals, though, defense is so important. And now they are on a couple times this week have had Hunter Dozier in left field and Soler in right field. And you just think about Alex Gordon. If he'd have been in left field, that would have been a pretty routine play.
Well, if Benintendi had been in left field, it would have been a routine play. You know, you don't have Benintendi in the lineup. Mondesi can't stay in the lineup. I mean, those obviously are two pretty good players, particularly Mondesi. And you don't have him in your lineup, and particularly when you're, you know, a developing team. I mean,
I guess that justifies that lineup a little bit more, but They
need to get healthy, too. That would certainly at least help the cause a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if there's any hope and any consolation for this season, I had a story on this week. Came across it. Baseball America put out a deal on, you know, how minor leagues are doing for each franchise. And the Royals' overall win-loss percentage, third best behind the Yankees and the Tampa Bay Rays. And going into yesterday's play, all four of the Royals minor league teams had a 500 or better record. And the only team that had a 500 record was Northwest Arkansas, and that's where some of their studs are playing.
Yeah.
But there's some players in the minor leagues that are having some good seasons.
We should have had Don Weiss on this morning. Weiss and his kids went to, at least his son, they're on a summer baseball tour. They were at Kansas City 2 weeks ago to watch the Monarchs, I think they're called. Then they were at the Wind Surge Stadium, the new stadium in Wichita, last Friday night. And last night they went all the way to Springdale, Arkansas, to watch the Royals minor league team where Bobby Witt's playing.
Yeah, Northwest.
That Northwest Arkansas.
Northwest Arkansas, which is in Springdale.
I mean, there is reason for optimism, even with this current team. I mean, you know, there's been some good moments, and you see flashes of an organization that's certainly heading in the right direction in terms of where they may be here in a year or two. And so,
well, they've kind of figured out a place to use Kowar and I can't remember the other guy's name.
Bubic.
Bringing him in, and they'll probably, one or both of them, will pitch today because
Kowar's been sent down. He was sent down back to Omaha.
Because they're starting Zimmer today, and that's an opener. That's a two- or three-inning job.
Right.
And then somebody, you know. And
they did get Duffy back, but he pitched last night.
He pitched like an inning last night.
That was their plan. They're not going to. They're just trying to get him some innings to build his strength back up before they run him out there for the stretch run. And you know, the All-Star game break is just around the corner, so it'll be interesting to see what decisions the Royals do make with some of their personnel. You know, after the All-Star break, because I think that's a good point to where you can sit down with your organization and look at, okay, is this guy going to be a part of our future? Is this guy going to be? And if they're not, then maybe you try to unload them, see what you can get for them now.
Well, Minor and Zimmer both have been good enough that Minor particularly could be trade bait. And I don't know where the Royals are going to end up. It's interesting.
Yeah.
It's fun, and they're still fun to watch. But, you know, last night they'd scored a run. They're down 4-1, and they've got runners at second and third, and their best hitter supposedly, Salvador Perez, up. And that was the one he hit deep. And the center fielder made a nice play on it in that field, that stadium, the new stadium in Texas. The outfield wall goes to a certain point, and then it just turns left and gets deeper.
Yeah.
And if he'd have hit it 2 yards to the left, it would have been out of the ballpark. And And if it hit it 2 feet to the right, he wouldn't have been able to catch it.
Yeah.
So I guess Perez didn't fail it, but he also hit into a double play with runners on, but he hit it hard. So I don't know.
And that's been the Achilles heel for the Royals, at least for the last couple of weeks, runners in scoring position.
And can't get them home.
Because I know I didn't look to see what they did last night, but against the Yankees on Thursday afternoon, they were 0-9 and struck out 11 times. So they haven't done a very good
job. They were 0-9 at one point last night when I quit listening.
Like you said, that's been a big problem for them. They get runners in scoring position but can't get them.
Let me talk local golf for just a little bit because Greg was gone. And Chuck was doing sports, and he didn't know exactly where to look, I think. But we had state qualifier, our KGA, Kansas Golf Association, qualifying tournaments held on Tuesday, and one of them was in Manhattan, and four Emporians played in that tournament. Gentry Sheevy, who shot 71 and qualified to move to the state championship, which comes up.
The Kansas Amateur State Amateur Championship, which is in July, middle part of July.
Okay, and it's a deal where you go and you gotta qualify again, and the top 64, I think, end up going to match play in that. But Gentry Sheevy shot 71. He qualified. Caleb Schmid shot 74. He qualified. Caden Massey shot 74. He qualified. My grandson, I guess I don't need to say he's my grandson, but most people know that, Brooks Souter had a rough day, shot 81. He did not qualify. And so those three will be playing. And those same three, Caleb Schmid, Caden Massey, and Gentry Sheevy are all playing in Newton. In a three-day tournament?
Yeah, it's a three-day tournament. It's called the Railer Kansas Stroke Play Championship. And being played at Sand Creek Golf Course. Sand Creek, that's right. And Caden was the only one who got to finish his first round yesterday. He was at plus 11. And Gentry Sheevy and Caleb Schmidt were still on the golf course when the play was halted for a second time yesterday at Newton. And they were supposed to finish up their first round today, and then they'd play their second round today with a third round tomorrow.
Okay, and then junior golf, Hayden Hudson Souter played at Sand Creek Station. Well, they're having a lot of golf at Sand Creek Station.
Yeah, they play a lot of golf
there. He played in a KGA junior on Monday and Tuesday last week, and he got fourth place in the 14 and 15 year old division, and he shot 281s, which is good golf. So those kids, and we've got Nolan. I'm trying to think of his last name. He played the week before in the junior tournament here and did well. And Nolan Jacobs and Chris Walker's son, Will, playing some good golf. Marley Harder, Aaron's son, playing some junior golf. And they got golfing. The junior golf program has over 100 kids
in
it.
Wow, fantastic.
So things are good. Good for wrestling, good for golf going on. Lots of activities for kids.
And also going on this weekend, before we get out of here, MAYB tournament. Not the numbers that we've seen in previous years. There are only 13 teams, but all games are being played at Emporia High. There's a team for the 11th and 12th grade division on the boys' side, and a 7th and 8th grade division on the boys' side, and then the girls' high school division. Those are the three divisions, and there's a Emporia High team or team of Emporians playing in all three of those divisions. Play just got underway with, I think, 7th and 8th graders, and then I think the girls, and then the 11th and 12th grade boys. So
it's all at Emporia High?
It's all at Emporia High. They'll use both the main gym and
a busy place today.
MAYB, wrestling, all going on out there.
And there's also a disc golf tournament. What is that?
It's called the – I don't have the name. Amateur – match play doubles. And I'm not sure what all the terminology means, but they played. They were supposed to play two rounds yesterday. They only got one round in. They were got started with the second round and weren't able to finish the second round. But as I looked at the online score sheet, it didn't look like they were maybe planning on playing a second round because they didn't have the second round up there. They might play that today, but the only scores that I was able to find was for yesterday's first round, and Emporian was tied for first place.
Yeah. So disc golf, and by the way, on the on-air chat on Wednesday, we'll have Jeremy and Doug Bjorkus, Jeremy Resko, and we're going to talk about the different tournaments, and we've got tournaments coming up and all that kind of stuff, but we'll also talk about the growth of disc golf and how it's affecting their business, and I know how it's affecting their business. It's a good thing, and they've moved into a new warehouse, and we'll talk a little bit about that transition and so on, and so look forward to that on Wednesday morning. So,
yeah, the Junior World Golf Tournament begins July the 7th, but they'll have activities going on beginning on July the 4th, I think, and the 5th. So there will be activities not this upcoming week, but the following week, as I think they said around 280 golfers are expected to be in for that. And for when you talk about the juniors, that means not only just those golfers, but family members are going to be here with them. So Emporia is going to have a pretty good stretch here.
Okay.
People in town, and make them feel welcome.
Okay, one last thing, and I think we'd be remiss if we didn't mention Camden Kermer, who was our Emporia High Student Athlete of the Year, gets an award. From who sponsored that award? From
that is
Bill Snyder.
Coach something. Bill Snyder Family Foundation, in conjunction with the Sunflower Chapter of the National Football Foundation. And this is something the National Football Foundation does nationwide as well. They selected 13 Kansas high school football seniors and honored them as scholar athletes. And Camden Kermer was one of those 13. And we congratulate him on that honor because that recognizes not only what he did on the football field, but what he did in the classroom, also what he did as far as community service is concerned as well.
Unfortunately, he's the last of the Kermers, isn't he?
No, they got a sister.
They have a
daughter.
They have a daughter. So done with the boys, though. So, yeah.
That's been quite the family. Yeah. So congratulations for that. Okay, well, thanks to Noel Torres. Go ahead.
Yeah, also, did want to mention real quickly, Kansas Rhine Bowl taking place tonight in Hutchinson. Unfortunately, no Emporia High players are playing in this, but three area players are. Jordan Barnard, who was our area high school male athlete of the year, from Olpe. Miles Kitzelman from Linden will be playing in that, and Dane Whalen from Osage City will be participating in that. And Olpe coach Chris Schmidt and Osage City coach Andrew Gantenbein are assistant coaches for the East squad, so they might get a little time. And that kicks off at 7 o'clock at Gallen Stadium in Hutchinson.
I hope we have good weather for that.
Yeah, I know. Keep fingers crossed.
There you go. Okay. Well, thanks to Noel Torres, wrestler extraordinaire from Emporia High and a national champion in college who's here doing clinics, and Ken Roper, longtime golf pro, Emporian, good guy, and was a good coach back in the day when Emporia State had golf. And so it was fun talking to those guys. Royals, what, 3:05 first pitch?
That is correct.
They're in Texas. They ought to be able to play with the Rangers. The Rangers are 20 games now under 500.
Yeah.
So hopefully, although it will be the cast of thousands pitching for the Royals today as they're starting with an opener with Zimmer. So anyway, that's going to wrap it up for Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by longbineauto.com.
96.9.